from the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto.
One, two,
ladies and gentlemen.
Roz.
Yes.
And Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz.
Thank
you, Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
Amazing! Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show
podcast.
You know when you see those pictures where somebody recreates a photo from their past?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, sure. they get, like, their brother together, and they put on, like, the similar outfits that they had when they were children.
Totally.
And they take a picture. So, damn it, Maury, come in here for a sec, my love. It's Maury's dad's birthday, Frank.
When, today?
And Maury
Happy
wanted
birthday,
to
Daddy.
Recreate a picture of the two of them when Maury was a little baby.
Okay.
Okay, so the picture that you have it there that you can take a look at. The picture is of Maury as a baby, all swaddled up on his dad's lap. His dad is wearing a blue t-shirt with the word daddy written on it and white pants.
Oh my God. What the hell, guys?
Okay. So Maury and Frank recreate.
Oh my God.
Recreate this picture. And the whole thing is recorded, by the way. So we'll play it for you in a second. But it wasn't the daddy shirt that was the big problem with the picture. It wasn't where do you find white pants. It was whether or not Frank, Maury's dad's finger was in Maury's mouth and therefore would need to be recreated in the picture that they shot.
Oh my God.
Okay, so here. So this, first of all, is Maury and Frank arguing over whether Frank's going to put his finger in his son's mouth.
But his hand's not down there. His hand's more up, right?
No, Maury, it's fine.
No, are you sure? Is your finger in my mouth?
No, it's not supposed to be in your mouth.
Look at the thing. I swear, your
it's
finger's
not
in my mouth.
In your mouth.
Are you looking at it? Your finger is in my mouth. I think we should do one with your finger in my mouth.
My finger is in the picture. It's not in your mouth.
Well, I don't know. I see it. Do you really put your finger in my mouth?
You insist on having my finger in your mouth. You got my finger in your mouth.
But it needs to be somewhat exact.
Well, you gotta move this down so you see it.
Okay,
so
yeah, that's better.
Is that
better?
Yeah,
you can
take
Daddy
now.
Oh,
good luck. Yeah, okay. So at this point, Maury, you're what? You're swaddled up.
I'm lying across my dad's lap.
Right.
And I'm swaddled in this orangey-yellow blanket.
Right.
And my dad sort of is holding the blanket back.
Okay.
And you have your finger.
And I'm my finger sort of resting on my mouth, yeah.
Right.
Okay, can you put on your daddy shirt? Now, should I wear shorts or should I wear just underwear?
No.
Shorts is good.
Okay, so you have to swaddle me.
Oh, I'm going to swaddle you, all right?
No, but you need to swaddle.
Oh! Okay. No, like up and down.
Up and down?
But, yeah. Like,
up and down your what? Your leg?
No, like get up and then get down.
Okay.
Because he's so heavy.
So poor Frank. How old's your dad?
63.
Okay, poor Frank, 63, trying to put Maury on his lap. So Frank's outfit was key for this picture because it's like a baby blue shirt with the word daddy written in a very specific font.
It was on Father's Day 40 years ago.
Yes. And it was, and the pants were white. So Maury went and found white pants for his dad to wear in this picture.
Yeah.
Right? And the most Maury thing of all Maury thing happens next, which is, keep in mind, it's his dad's birthday. It's Frank's birthday. And Maury shows up with the daddy shirt and a nice pair of white pants. Frank falls in love with the white pants, but it's at this point that Maury says, don't get too comfortable in those pants because they're going back to the store as soon as we finish this picture.
No!
Yes.
What?
Okay, Jonathan.
I'm going to get to keep these $80 pants.
$80?
Yeah, not much anymore. Then somebody gives me $80, you can keep the pants.
Get them on sale, it'd be less than $80.
I think you need to sit on the couch, or you're going to break a chair, or the...
No, let's try this first. Because that way...
You know that if you break the chair, that's going to cost you a pair of pants and a new chair.
Fine, okay.
Hold on a second.
He didn't even give his dad the pants.
But it's a man's birthday. You can give him $80 pants.
He got to keep the daddy shirt.
Yeah.
I gave him the daddy shirt.
How much did the daddy shirt cost him?
The daddy shirt cost $22.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
She showed up saying, "Dad, for your birthday, what I want to do is have my social media blow up with a picture of me. So I'd like you to wear these pants that I just bought you for your birthday picture that is only going to benefit me. And by the way, don't get too comfortable in them because they're going back to the store."
So he left the tags on them so that I could
is
bring them back.
Is that not...
That is so straight up selfish.
That's right.
Yeah, that's straight up selfish.
You got the daddy shirt.
Oh, man. I feel bad for you, Frank.
So do I.
That is straight up selfish.
Oh, it's blowing up on social.
Yeah. And happy birthday to Frank.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show
podcast.
You want to hear a grandma yell at her granddaughter because she doesn't know how to use a rotary phone?
Hold on. What?
Okay. So there's a grandma and she takes out her phone and starts filming the granddaughter, who's like early teens, I would say like 12, 13.
Sure.
And there's a rotary phone on the table, and the grandma told the kid to call her mom, and this kid is looking at this rotary phone at like she has no idea what she's doing with it. She's like putting her finger in the hole and like trying to push like the hole of the rotary phone
as if it's a button.
As if it's a button.
What's this? What you mean, what is it? That's a phone. What you mean, what is it?
How you use it?
What do you mean, how do you use it, Aaron?
It got letters on it like you can text, but you can't text.
You can't text on. You ain't never seen a phone before. That's all that technology.
How?
You dial the numbers, Aaron. What do you mean? You gotta dial the number. It's a phone. See, you all don't know technology. It's a phone, Aaron.
That's how you do it.
No, you don't. What are you doing? Pushing your finger in the hole trying to dial. You got to spin the wheel like Wheel of Fortune, girl. You put your finger in whatever number and then you dial, Aerie.
Yeah, Aerie.
No, you have to take it all the way around. What's wrong with y'all kids? That's the phone.
Get out of here. Yeah,
there's always something. I mean, and because you don't run into a rotary phone that often in life, but there, every sort of generation, I guess, has this. I remember being like a young kid and having a teacher just like lose it on me because I didn't know how to use a compass. You know what I mean? And I think like the conversation ended with, "Well, have fun getting lost then." You know, like, because there's just things that we don't, you like take everything, like life changes. When you, you know, kids now, I would say you don't need to know how to use a compass. It's not something that you're going to run
into.
Why?
When I have one on my phone.
Right.
I think the kids now, there are more things that they don't even know how to use, like protractors, abacus, everything.
Yeah. No. They don't even teach kids cursive anymore in school.
At all.
If you want to learn cursive, you do that on your own time.
That
Jack.
Too. Yeah, but that's hard cursive.
Right, but it's not that hard.
You're a 40-year-old man.
Whenever I have to write my name in greeting cards, I really do have a difficult time.
No, hold on a second here. Writing your name in a greeting card is way different than cursive. You're saying signing your name is difficult?
I always screw up signing my name. I'm not kidding.
Wait, get a pen.
Get a pen.
Do you have a pen there? Here.
Yeah. Hold on here, Maury. Are you seriously saying right now?
Here, use this piece of paper.
Because when was the last time that you signed your name?
When I signed my name? I sign my name all the time.
But like, we don't do checks anymore.
No.
The only time you sign your name is a greeting card. And you only have to do that three times a year.
I signed a check last, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Last week, actually.
Okay, I'm signing stuff for work all the time.
Because I don't deal with the checks at home. I'm not allowed to.
Okay. So, Maury, first of all. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so this is how I would sign my name in a greeting card.
Yeah, that one finger that you have, the way you hold a pen, it looks very uncomfortable for that finger. It looks like it doesn't want to be there.
No, but when I learned how to use a pen, there used to be a block here where I would fit my fingers in.
Remember those things? Only certain kids in class had those things. Yeah.
There's one kid in my class that always had that pen. Okay.
Okay, Maury. So what are you doing right now? Why are you pushing so hard, by the way?
That's what she said.
Stop it. Why are you pushing so hard? When you write your name, you look like you're very angry at it.
No, but it's just how I've always learned with the pen.
It's like you have a knife in your hand and you're carving into a tree.
Listen to this for a second. I don't know if my microphone will go this far. Listen to how violent this sounds. Listen. Can you hear that?
Yeah, it's very loud.
Right? First of all, nothing. Okay, Maury, hold on here. I'm looking at where you've signed your name.
I've tried to perfect the M.
Okay. I don't even know what that is. That's not an M.
That's how you sign Maury? Let me see.
That looks like a cry for help. It really does. Oh, what? No.
Now you sound like a psychopath. We should...
Oh, no. Here he goes.
Maury's signature needs to be looked at by one of those handwriting experts.
Yeah. Oh, no, it should not.
Right. Right. Like, here, Mocha, take a look at that. And also, not one of them is even remotely close to the one next to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, tell me that that signature is not a cry for help.
But that's why
you're straight up psychopath, dude.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm telling you, like, it's hard to sign your own name,
but
because
can you do cursive?
Because my signature is normally this.
They would put that in a book dedicated to like serial killers.
Because my signature is MSS.
No, that's not a signature, what you just did right there. That's when you write something and then you scratch it out. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's not a signature, bruh.
Yeah, that's how I've always done it.
Oh my god. You got I don't know what's the matter with you, man.
That's why I really want to get a stamp.
I know we've flirted with this before, Maury, but before the end of this week, I'm going to need to see a high school diploma, bro. Seriously.
That may be difficult.
The Roz and Mocha Show
Podcast.
Would you like to dip back into the world of mouth charades?
Yes, we haven't played this in a while.
Okay.
And now it's time for the game everybody loves to play. It's like charades, but you make the noise of clues with your mouth. It's mouth charades. So get ready, get silly, and start to make those mouth charades.
All right, so how mouth charades works, Dammit Maury has the pot of mystery words in front of him. Much like charades, where you act something out, Maury will be acting it out, but only using his mouth, only doing the sounds of the words. And Mocha, I believe that you are in the lead. You actually got a couple of these right. I'm still sitting at zero because Maury's terrible at this game.
Oh, clearly I'm great because Mocha's getting them.
20 seconds on the clock. If you would like to pick a Mocha word, Mocha, would you like to go first?
Yes.
All right, 20 seconds on the clock and go.
Oh, glass breaking. Rain hitting. No. Nail. Nail. A hammer hitting the top of a nail. Oh, my God. Thunder. Lightning.
Oh, snap.
What was it?
A high five.
Oh.
Bro, that's a high five?
Yeah.
I guess.
Oh, God.
Okay.
All right. Now my turn. I don't even want to do this right now.
That's what she said.
Okay. 20 seconds on the clock and go. Oh, jeez. No. Is that like, is it a car? Oh, is it a biplane? An old school World War II biplane. World War I biplane. Oh, jeez. What is that?
Lawnmower.
Lawnmower?
And when I went like the odd, psh, that's like a stick.
Lawnmower?
Oh, sometimes you drive over a stick.
Jeez. Okay. You do stuff that throws you off. Like had the clue been lawnmower going over a stick, then I could understand adding that in, but that really screws me up, man.
Okay, so just to be clear, it is still 0-0.
Thank you.
Okay. Here is a word for Mocha.
Okay. Mocha, 20 seconds on the clock and go.
Helicopter. Plane. Quiet fart. Somebody falling out of a window. roller coaster! Roller coaster!
Yeah. Shut your mouth! Shut your mouth!
Yeah. What?
You're terrible.
How am I terrible? I just got a point.
No.
Roller coaster. All right, 1-0.
And Maury, don't use your arms in these. You're using your arms too much.
What did I use my arms?
You used your arms. Sit on your hands. Read the clue and then sit on your hands because you put your arms in the air. And I think that that's what gave Mocha the impression that it was roller coaster.
Yeah. Here's a word for Roz.
Oh, don't sit on your hands now. Do it on Mocha's turn. Okay, go.
All right.
It looks like I don't. Your lips are flapping. I'm mesmerized by your lips, like flapping. Is riding a pony?
again?
Why are you bouncing? No, no movements. No movements. Just your mouth.
But I had to do the movement to get the mouth.
Don't move your body. Just move your lips, okay?
But the
stop.
The buzzer went. Can I tell you what it is?
Yes.
A dribbling basketball.
A dribbling basketball?
That's a hardwood floor.
You are the worst at this.
Okay, one more for Mocha?
Yes.
Sure.
20 seconds on the clock and
okay.
Go.
Typewriter. Waves. Rain. It's something water? Oh, dishwasher. Dishwasher. No, washing the dishes? Washing machine.
A lawn sprinkler.
Do that again. Do it again. Okay, can I get my last word, please?
Sure.
20 seconds on the clock and go.
Okay.
Oh. I was going to say machine gun, but okay, what is that happening now?
What the hell are you doing to your mouth, bro?
What are you doing to your mouth right there? You look like you're, okay, you're eating, you look like you're just somebody who just ate a bullet. Okay. You look like, are you an old man with a gun?
Or an old man who just ate a gun? Okay,
are you an old man with a gun?
Brushing teeth.
Oh, shut up. There's a song. You brush your teeth.
That's what I was doing.
You're so gross.
And that's how you play mouth charades.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Maury, come in here for a sec. I'm going through the results of this survey that they did. So the average American, they say, makes $52,000 a year. I imagine it's the same thing up here.
Yeah.
And they asked people what they'd be willing to do to get a 10% pay raise. Now, a 10% pay raise on $52,000 is about $5,200 and then roughly $140 per paycheck,
like,
after
10%
taxes.
10% on what you make, 10% is different for everybody.
Yes, but I'm just saying, if you're in the average of $52,000.
Okay.
Listen. So they asked people, so do you know how to do in your head, Maury, what you make? Do you know what 10% of what you make is, would be?
Roughly not.
How? It's a very easy number to find out. 10% is a very easy number to find out.
Is it moving zeros around?
Well, it depends on if there are zeros. Depends on how many zeros.
Wait, which zero?
I assume it's adding a zero to the number that you think it is to make the number of what it could be.
Yes, exactly. What's the point of having all that head if you're not going to put anything in it, Maury? okay, so.
That's so funny, dude.
Okay. I thought of that one last week, and I'm like, I knew that there was going to be a moment where I whipped that out. Okay, so 10% more. So 10% raise. They asked people what you would be willing to do for a 10% raise. 5% of people said that they would eat a Tide Pod.
What?
Yep. 12% said that they would break up with their significant other.
For a 10% raise?
For 10%.
Well, I'm so shocked about the Tide Pod thing.
Yes. For 10%.
Idiots.
Maury?
So you have to, like, actually eat the
whole
thing?
No, I'm taking that one off the list. I don't want to,
breaking up with Matthew for a 10% raise. No, because it would cost me more in the divorce.
Correct. You're right. 35% of people would give up their right to vote for life.
Oh, boy.
But you know what that comes with. You can never complain about the person that wins.
True.
I mean, you're still going to complain.
You still complain.
I would do that.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. 9% of people said that they would give away their child's right to vote for life.
Oh, my God.
For a 10% raise.
No, not worth it. No way.
More?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. 40% of people said that they would give up dental care, and 19% of people said that they would give up their health insurance for a 10% raise.
No way!
What are you if not your smile?
Exactly, Maury. 56% of people said that they would work an extra 10 hours a week for their life for 10%, and 50% of people said that they would work 6 days a week for the next year.
Oh, man. Oh, no. For the next year? Hold on.
Yeah.
For the next year, though.
I don't think that math equals out, because that would... Yeah, that's a
like
tough
you still
one.
Put it. You still an extra day, a full 8 hours.
Yeah.
No,
I don't know about that, man.
Not no.
I don't know. I couldn't give up. No,
there's something
no,
to be said about sleep.
No, I couldn't.
You couldn't. Yeah?
I couldn't do it.
If you had, if you had to, would you pick a Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday.
No way, Saturday.
You'd work Saturday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd pick a Saturday for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
But no, I would pick the Sunday.
No, I'd still pick the Saturday. Yeah. I don't know why. I just
so that's,
would.
That's what people would do for 10%. I'm still stuck on 12% of people would break up with their significant other.
Very high number there.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
If you're a parent traveling with kids, Air Transat wants to take some of that stress of traveling with kids away from the enjoyment of your vacation. Air Transat's Kids Club makes it way easier for your family to vacay together.
Yeah, your kid just started walking, right?
Yeah.
Have you had him in an airport yet or no? Has he been on a plane yet?
Not yet. Soon, though.
He has not. Where are you guys headed?
I think we're going to try a very short flight first.
Yeah.
Like a 3 hour, maybe to like Florida or something.
Right, yes. Yeah. Geez, that's not short. Like an hour is short. Three is not short. But when you do get there,
yes,
realize that when you sign up with Air Transat and Kids Club, they make it all easy for you. What you're going to realize is that a kid in an airport is like a dog in a bone store, right? It's like it is impossible to handle a kid in an airport. There's too much going on and everything has wheels for them to ride on. Okay.
Nice.
So, but when you do sign up for Kids Club, you get perks like this: free seat selection, which is huge, dedicated check-in counter for members, for you and your family, pre-boarding, which I cannot tell you how wonderful pre-boarding is when you do have a kid, because anything that involves a line is a nightmare when you have a kid who's maybe a little bit tired because you're trying to catch that early flight. Priority baggage handling on the other side,
oh,
and
man,
so much more.
The Air Transat Kids Club is open to all children 2 to 11, and registration is absolutely free. Visit airtransat.com to learn more.
Right. Okay, cool. You want to take a phone call?
KS925, Roz and Mocha. Who's this?
It's Kelly. How are you?
Good, Kelly. What's going on?
Oh, not much. You know how you guys say about, you know, who's your favorite, Roz, Mocha, whatever?
Yep.
Yeah.
I like you both.
Mm-hmm.
For different reasons, though.
Mm-hmm.
See, Roz has got that sexy, like, ooh, listen to me voice, right?
That's uh-huh. true, yes.
But Mocha, he's got that, it's that laugh. He's got that, it just draws you in. It's amazing. Like, as soon as you hear that laugh, you automatically put a smile on your face. Mm-hmm. It's great.
So okay. Who's your favorite, though?
I'm going to have to go with Mocha.
Oh, well,
I will take the win.
Why?
Will you
and I will take the win, but I have a question.
Yeah.
Because this comes up a lot.
Okay.
Whenever we ask between Roz and Mocha who's your favorite, mm-hmm. right?
Okay.
People always, 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 whether they pick Roz or not, they always say Roz is the sexy one. Roz has the sexy voice. This, that, and the other, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anytime people reference me, it's always the laugh, the laugh, the laugh.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, when do I get to be the sexy one?
But you do have a sexy voice. I'm not saying you
like,
don't.
Like, why can't
have a sexy
I be the
voice?
Sexy one? Like, why can't someone call and say Mocha's my favorite because
wow.
he's the sexy one?
Can I answer that?
There's.
Can I answer when you become the sexy one?
I'm not saying you don't have a sexy voice. You each have your own sexy voice in your own way. But with Ross, it's
Roz. It's
like,
Roz, by the way, hon.
Sorry,
okay.
Roz.
No problem.
Sorry.
Listen, Roz.
Okay, stop. Listen, had you said that I was your favorite, I would have let it go. But you said it like five times now, and I'm just I don't
sorry.
Care at this point. It's
I'm
okay.
I'm not awake yet. It's
okay.
been a very long, long weekend.
Okay, okay.
But you've got that voice. It's very, it's luring. Like, it's, you're one of these ones, like, if you were to sit and, like, do these like where they read books to people?
Yeah.
Your voice would draw them in.
Whose voice?
Because
mine or Ross's?
Ross.
Shut up.
Who? Ross's?
Yeah.
Oh.
Listen, I can't take a beating like this today.
So you have.
I just,
oh, so Ross, yeah. you have the book club reading voice.
No, but it's very sexy. Like if he was like
if he were reading like, Fifty Shades of Grey to you.
Oh God, yes.
Okay.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah.
But you've got that laugh, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's just something about the laugh. No matter what, it makes you smile.
Right.
I know,
not
but like
sexy,
for once,
though.
I want to be the sexy one.
Yeah, I don't know.
But you are sexy.
At what point, Maury, you were going to say, what point does Mocha become the sexy one?
When you leave the show.
Oh.
Oh.
Wow.
That's a diss because Roz is not leaving the show. That still makes me feel even worse now. Yeah. Thanks, Maury.
Why?
I know. At this point, you're supposed to make Mocha feel better.
I mean, he's awesome, too.
No, I was trying to compliment you.
No. Why would you want to compliment me?
I was supposed to get the win just now. Now I feel like a big loser.
Hold on. You did get the win.
You did.
I know, but
don't do the poor me, poor me.
But you still got the sexy win, Ross.
Yeah, which is the most important thing. As we know, there is, and let me tell you, especially to the girls, the young girls listening right now, okay?
Oh, no,
there's no greater achievement in life than being rewarded for your looks, okay? Mark this down. Okay, you're going to grow up and have a fantastic future. Listen to those words carefully.
Don't.
Journal them every night.
Young ladies, do not listen.
Says the old man.
Do not listen to Ross at all.
Stop it.
All right, Kelly, we got to go. Thanks for the call.
All right. Have a great day.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. The Ross and Mocha Show podcast.
Hey, Maury, come on in here for a sec. My love.
Uh-oh, intervention.
Intervention.
For what?
Ross wrote a letter. He's going to sit down and read to you.
No, I did not.
No?
I don't want to cry today.
Oh, why not? So funny that you bring that up here.
Why?
Because I got so much stuff on my list that I want to talk to you guys about.
Is it about crying?
What's that? Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So 52% of people say they lost their temper at work. What percentage of people say that they've cried at work?
Oh, wow. Like 98%.
No.
98?
That's a very high number. You know that means everybody in this room has cried.
Can I just say something?
Yeah.
Do you know who says, when you ask somebody how many people have cried at work, people who have cried at work would say 98%. only people who have cried at work would say 98%.
I'm going to say 18% of people said that they've cried at work.
Yeah, 45%
I've cried many,
of people.
I've had some of my best cries at
Wait,
work.
Wait, 45%?
Yeah, 45% of people say that they've
that's
cried at.
That's a very high number. Have you ever cried at work?
I think it's like, does this count as work?
Well, yeah.
No, but I mean, like, if we're telling stories, like maybe, I don't think I've cried though. Maybe when I was talking about my dad dying or something like that, I cried maybe one. I don't think I did though.
I don't know if I did. Actually,
you've cried.
Oh, multiple times.
Yeah.
I remember one specific... Shut up! Listen, I remember one specific time that you started to tear up, and it made me tear up. I may actually tear up right now.
Oh, no.
Think about it.
Are you crying right now? Okay, turn the music off for a second. Hold on here.
Because it's a real nice moment.
Okay, hold on.
I'm thinking about it right now.
Okay, you're crying. Okay.
Okay. It was a time when... Okay. You remember when you were going to get the street named after you in your hometown of Acton?
Right, yes.
It's not really a street. It's more of an alley behind the Tim Hortons and the beer store in Acton.
Yes.
So Maury drove out there.
Right.
During the campaign run to get the mayor of Acton to give you that alleyway named after you.
That's right.
And he had a sign made up of what it would look like.
The street sign.
Right? Yeah. The street sign. And he was taking it around Acton. And the final stop in Acton, oh my God, I'm going to get choked up.
Right.
Is where he went to the cemetery where your dad is buried.
Yeah.
And he put the sign on your dad's tombstone.
Right. Yeah. That was sweet. Now I remember that.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Is it getting dusty in here?
Why?
I don't know. Because I just thought it was a real sweet moment.
No, it was sweet moment.
The part of it that made it sweet was that Maury said, okay, I'm going to hold the phone out.
I know.
And if you can say a couple of words like to your dad. And then you were saying all this nice stuff. And I could see, like, maybe in your eyes that you were starting to tear up. And then it made me tear up. And then I couldn't look at you, so I turned my back to
you. All I remember from that is me ruining that moment.
Right. No. It was a sweet moment. Because, and the thing that, I don't even know when you can't call it regrets because it's nothing you can do when your dad dies. But the thing that kills me is that he would love this show.
Yeah.
Like, he would love this show. And the thing that kills me even more is that Maury would be his favorite person. Like, because my dad died. I was young when my dad died.
Yeah.
So my dad died before I was on television. Like, my dad died before I had a job on TV, before I started doing this stuff with you. Like, he knew that this was like going to be sort of my path, but he didn't get to see it.
Right.
Like, he didn't get to hear it. Right. And he would just be like, anybody loved radio.
Don't you ever
talk
to him?
Loved radio. No.
Like, as I talk to my grandfather in the shower.
Yeah, I know you talk to dead papa all the time, but no, I don't actually. I don't do that. I don't talk to, I don't talk
to my dad.
You'd
be surprised. They answer.
Yeah, no, I find it
cathartic.
No, I don't find it cathartic because you would think that, you know, that there's, you sort of had the mentality of there's so much left to say and there's so much, you know, there's so much that you would want to know and
no,
you would want to ask.
It's not a matter of saying and knowing. It's a matter of getting them to do things for you.
No, I don't do that. I don't do that. I don't treat it that way. It's like when, to me, like they're, when somebody's gone, they're
That's
gone.
It.
If I think about stuff, I think about the stuff that I can remember and I think about like that kind of stuff. But I don't do that thing where I know some people do. I know some people really enjoy that. They'll sit and they can have a full conversation where I would find that just wildly frustrating. Yeah. I don't know if I'd be able to
See,
that.
That was a legit sad moment that Mocha, the last time I cried on the show was about Big Brother.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that is true. When somebody gets evicted from the house. Hello, this is Roz and Mocha. What's your name?
Hi, it's Elizabeth.
What up, girl?
So my uncle passed away like 5 years ago, mm-hmm. and my dad goes to this like spiritual lady person, and she was like talking to him, like talking to my uncle about it. But like my dad didn't tell her that my uncle passed away.
Right.
She had no idea. But this girl was like telling my dad all the stuff about my uncle and describing him and saying that because I was in a car accident a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
and she said that he like turned the wheel so that I wouldn't die.
Your dad's getting scammed, and so
yeah.
are you.
I don't know if I believe in that kind of stuff, man.
It's
I don't believe in it either.
It's a vicious world. This is why the world sucks. This is why it's so terrible. That, you know, somebody is, they make a living off this and they're very good at what they do. Like these people are brilliant at what they do. You know, it's like when you see David Blaine do something like a trick or you see anything that is just sort of mesmerizing that you've never seen a person do before because they're just so talented. You know, that's what these people are and that's what they do. And they take people's money to fake talk to their dead.
And their emotions, and it's hard.
Yeah, and to fake talk to their dead relatives. Now, if you're sort of using that as a form of therapy to sort of, to maybe come to terms with something where you still have a little skepticism going into it, you know, there's that. But the idea that the world just sucks so hard that there's people who will take your money and have you come to their house and sit in their living room so they can fake talk to a dead relative to make you feel good about yourself is just, it's criminal.
I don't think that the person that your dad was talking to, the spiritual person, may not have known when your father walked in that your uncle passed away, but asking the right types of questions, the right kind of questions, without saying, is there anybody dead in your family or who are you here to talk to me about? Asking the right questions would give that person the answer.
First of all,
they're very smart.
The fact that he's even in that room is more than enough for her to build something on.
Yeah.
For sure.
You know?
Then how do you explain me talking to my dead papa all the time?
Oh, enough of your dead papa, Maury.
No, but I'm saying, then how
Does
do you explain that? It works.
You?
What's that?
Does the dead papa answer him?
No, but Maury claims that he asks his dead papa for favors and to help him out if Maury's ever stuck in a jam, and his dead papa frequently helps him out, which is fine. And again, if you need to believe that, that's fine. There's
how do you
nothing,
not believe it?
There's nothing wrong with that.
I have a question for you, Tam and Maury. If you ask your dead papa for so much stuff, right?
Yeah.
And you claim that he's helped you out of all these jams and helped you attain all these things, how have you never asked your dead papa to help you get out of debt?
He only helps me book guests for this show.
Right, yes. Otherwise, don't you think abs would be on the top of that list?
That's true.
Yeah, I love you, you know?
He's only our guest booker.
Right, yeah. No, Maury can't ask for things like debt relief and a six-pack.
What a life that would be.
He only helps out with the show. But yes, no. If somebody's doing it, like Maury does it to make himself, you know, he needs something like that. But man, if your father's paying somebody to fake talk to his dead brother, like you got to be kidding me, man.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
Just,
I know.
It's a vicious world.
Yeah, definitely.
Would dead papa not agree, Maury?
He says no.
He says no.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Brad Smith. Remember
what?
You know, remember Brad Smith?
Oh, he was
The Bachelor.
Canada's Bachelor,
was,
right?
And then he was the host of, he was on Breakfast Television for a long time, and then Chopped Canada.
Now he owns a burger joint.
But anytime I would hang out with Brad, he would always like, he could always tap me on the butt.
Really?
Yeah, because he has that athlete thing in him.
Sure.
Where it's just like, that's how, like, he would just greet you that way.
It's just natural.
It's just natural.
He probably doesn't even think about it.
No, and it was so shocking.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, was it like a one pat, or was it like a double?
No, just like a one. Like,
just a one.
Like, yeah.
You
like,
he would just
tap you. And it was, I feel like, because at that moment, right? Because if you judge, if you start judging like masculinity and what it is being a man, all this stuff, you would never put freely willing to accept a tap on the ass, right? It's just not on the list. It's just not on the list until you're in that moment. And then when it happens and you react in a sort of shocked way, I felt like I wasn't man enough to accept the tap on the ass. Like, the whole world just shifts when another guy winds up tapping you on the butt to say, hey, good going, kid.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really weird. I would never think to do that.
Used to.
It's a really weird thing to get used to.
If you're in that sports world, it just.
Well, it all started from football, and that's what he used to play.
It's just natural, right?
It's natural to that. It just happens.
Like, you think they do it like when those athletes see each other outside of the game?
Yeah, I don't know.
I would say they do. Let's say they meet up for a drink or whatever at the bar.
Yeah.
And instead of like a fist bump or like a what's up, it's like a pat on the butt.
Yeah. Yeah. The pat on the butt is usually it's
or is that like the
it's
goodbye.
A goodbye. Right. It's usually a goodbye thing. It's not usually a hello thing. Because that would be like you would have to do. How would you do that? Because if you did that, Maury, come here for a second.
Well, no, because it is a goodbye because you're sending them into the field.
You're sending them off. But if it was a hello thing, it would have to be upon the greeting. So it would have to happen during a handshake, right?
Yeah.
No, don't bend over in front of me. What are you doing?
Have you ever watched sports before?
Who walks into a room like that? Maury just walked up to me, turned around, and bent over. It would have to be like this. Like, okay. No, Maurice, again, don't turn around.
Well, how are you supposed to get to my bum?
No. Okay.
Have you never watched sports?
No.
No. Okay. We're not doing this. We're not doing the goodbye.
Am I walking towards you?
Yeah, you're walking towards me. But I'm just saying, like, no, don't. You're not walking. We know each other. Maury just went to like walk by me, like we're on a sidewalk.
Like
a stranger on the street.
Listen, how do you not understand the concept of what's happening right now?
Are you trying to live out some fantasy where some guy tweaks you while you're just?
It's very awkward to me right now.
Okay. So what I'm saying, Maury, is that if you did it on a greeting, I would have to hear, like, I'm like, hey, Maury, how's it going? I shake your hand, and then in order to do it on a greeting, I would have to pull Maury in very close.
Oh,
why are
yeah.
you turning weird?
God, dude, you're...
I don't know what you want me to do.
You're the most awkward individual, even in a fake situation. Wait,
yeah.
I think I'm blushing. Oh, this is so funny.
He's not trying to sleep with you. Like, he's not trying to court you right now.
I know, but this is like I've never planned this out in my head.
This situation would have happened differently had you planned it out, right?
That's why I bent over.
Wow,
so
right away.
All the times you thought that there might be a chance that I might touch your butt, it didn't go like this, and now you don't know what to do with the situation?
No, I'm just kind of, am I walking back? Am I bending? What do you want me to do? I'm like, oh my God, so many dreams.
Okay, you've thought about this a lot then.
Clearly, yes.
Okay, well, now it's not going to happen. Go sit down.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
At what age do they say that we as people peak? What is the best age of our lives?
Like for happiness.
The best. Where everything is just the best. Like at what year in your life was everything just the best?
Like 35 maybe?
That's when it was the best?
Really?
Yeah. Maury, what would you say?
18.
18. No.
I'm just saying that based on this.
Yeah. They've come up with the age where everything was the best.
Can I defend
18?
It's because you were still living at home. You didn't really have any responsibilities. And if you needed money, you asked mom and dad.
But you have responsibility at 18, though. That's just bad parenting if you don't.
Oh.
The best age, they say, where we peak is 9.
9?
9 years old? Come on
9
now.
Years old.
So my brother, Kyle, is the happiest right now he'll ever be.
Why?
He is peaking
9?
Right now. Yeah. Roxy next year will peak. This is when at 9, you don't have a whole lot of responsibility. You reap all the benefits of being a kid, but you're old enough to enjoy really, really cool things.
But you don't understand what you're enjoying.
No, of course you understand what you're enjoying.
Yeah, I would
at
say
nine.
9 years old you do.
Now, but what do you miss most about being nine?
So I can't even remember nine.
Birthday presents.
Right, birthday presents, okay? So that's on the list of things that you miss most about being nine.
Oh, eating whatever you want, not getting a belly.
Eating whatever you want and not getting a belly.
You got that nine-year-old metabolism? Right?
Sleepovers.
Yeah, true.
Not showering every day.
Not showering every day. So on the list of things that you miss as an adult, you
minus
miss
the getting the belly stuff. This is like kind of stuff that you live and do right now, Maury.
But I get the belly.
Yeah. Okay. Weekends with nothing to do, no errands to run and no chores.
Nothing.
Right?
You just sit around watching
TV. But there's homework though. That's the problem though, right?
No.
Compared to now, life now as an adult, I'd rather have like 2-3 hours of homework
a night. So would I. Eating candy at number 9. Yeah, more eating candy, not gaining weight.
Your clothes being laid out for you.
Number 8, having someone else cook all your food.
Yes. Most deaf.
Right?
Yeah.
Zero responsibility when it comes to making meals.
Yeah.
Zero responsibility.
I still have that now.
7, playgrounds.
Oh, hell yeah.
6, family trips.
Uh-huh.
Spending quality time with your parents at number 5. People miss that. Not having to work at number 4.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Playing outside with your friends until it's too dark.
Yeah. Come in.
Right?
It's too dark outside.
Number 2, summers.
Oh, the best.
Right? Because summers when you were 9 are way superior to summers when you're an adult.
Yeah.
Right? Just like the
now
best.
Still got to work.
Yeah, but now it's a huge cost.
And the number 1 thing on the list that people miss the most about being 9 once you're an adult are school vacations. So what they mean by that is like March break off.
Oh, yeah. Christmas break.
Christmas break off.
All the PA days.
All the PA days.
All the long weekends.
All the long weekends.
Man.
But when you're a parent of a 9-year-old, you kind of get those things back again, don't you?
No.
Don't you still get to play outside with your kids until it's dark?
Yeah, sure.
They can all play with you.
Yeah, but then
I got all their friends and 9-year-old friends.
But then I got to go and clean up the lawn darts and hula hoops.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not the same thing. I can't just leave my junk everywhere.
And who's paying for those lawn darts and hula hoops?
You
are, as the adult.
Yes, thank you. No, it's a different thing. I love playing with my kid.
Yeah, you're right.
Don't get me wrong, but it's as a grown-up, you have different responsibilities when you're playing with a kid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But so they say, if you missed it, by the way, the age that you peaked, the greatest age of your entire life, where life was perfect, was 9.
Oh, man.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
We're going to talk to a guy named Nick Caruso in a second. The new book is called Does It Fart?
Yeah, which is a question that happens in my house all the time when you have a kid. You always want to know what farts and what doesn't fart. Like goats, for instance. I imagine goat farts to be just atrocious.
Yeah.
No offense to goats. And yes, let me read you this from the book. In 2015, a plane full of 2,000 goats leaving Kuala Lumpur was forced to land unexpectedly after all the gas produced by the goats on board set off the fire alarm.
No!
Yeah, so goat farts are just about the worst. But when you start going through the list of what farts and what does not fart in the animal world, in the insect world, in the everything world, it's truly fascinating.
Yo, Nick Caruso, what up, man? It's Roz and Mocha.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great.
Finally, there's a book that accurately tells you which animals fart and which animals do not fart. And because I actually had this conversation the other day because we adopted a brand new kitten not that long ago, and we have 2 other cats at home, Nick, and the other cats, I've never noticed whether they fart or not, but I swear that the new one, the baby, she farts a lot. Do cats fart?
Oh, they definitely fart, and I think my cat wanted to celebrate our book release, and he actually gave us a pretty bad one on Tuesday.
Let me tell you, Nick, we have a golden retriever at home. He's 5 years old. His name's Tig. When that dog farts, oh boy, burn the house down.
Really?
Get out. Leave.
Really? Yeah. Sell it.
Wait, how did all this come about? You writing a book called Does It Fart?
So it started with my co-author, Danny Rabiotti. Her brother had asked her if snakes farted back last year in January.
Yeah.
She didn't know, but she thought, you know, maybe this David Steen, a snake expert, would know. So she asked him on Twitter. He did. He's actually answered that question before. Farts are pretty funny, and people want to know this. So this is, you know, we should make Does It Fart a thing.
Wow.
From there, Danny suggested a spreadsheet, and we started getting a lot of scientists, zookeepers, and anyone else who had firsthand knowledge of a specific species of animal farting contributing to this spreadsheet.
Right. I'm just thinking of one of those situations that you could possibly be in. Like, you're the guy on the subway and you realize you've left your bag behind with your laptop in it. And as the subway's leaving, you're screaming out, "No, my book is on there." And somebody's like, "Oh my God, what are you writing?" And you're like, "A book on what farts and doesn't." It's like, like, it's a very difficult, it's a very difficult thing. But when you actually read the way that you've broken all of this down, it's fascinating. So Mocha here, I'll run through a couple with Mocha because Mocha hasn't seen the list yet. I have it in front of me. I want to go through a couple of these with both you guys. Okay. Mocha, cockroaches, do they fart or do they not fart?
They do not.
So they do fart.
What? Cockroaches?
And they can fart methane out, and they probably farted in your food.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, cockroaches probably farted in your food.
Cockroaches are disgusting already.
Octopus. Do octopus fart, Mocha?
Oh, that definitively no. I'm going to say no. They don't.
You are correct. They don't. They don't fart. They don't seem to have the same, you know, gas producing microbes in their intestines and in their gut.
Do any fish fart?
Yes. There are some fish that fart.
Really? Like, which ones?
Well, there are some fish that absolutely need to fart. So there's a fish called the Bolson pupfish.
Okay.
That during the summers can get gas buildup. They typically will bury themselves in the sand at the bottom of their small pools. But if they build up gas, they float up to the top and can either, one, get picked off by birds pretty easily, just kind of bobbing in the water. Or they can just burst from gas.
When they bury themselves in the sand because they have to fart, is that because they're dating someone new?
I got to go in the other room for a minute, baby, just real quick.
Okay, Mocha, do sloths fart?
I'm going to, God, they're pretty lazy. I'm going to say yes, but I'm going to say it's like a real long and slow fart.
They don't fart. They're one of the very few mammals that don't fart, and their digestion is pretty slow. They poop maybe once every 3 weeks or so.
Really?
And so,
are there any sort of, because humans look at farts like you sort of look down your nose at it. It's not really socially acceptable. But are there any sort of like animals that are proud farters? Like, is the fart ever used to lure a mate in the animal world? You know what I mean? Like, are there any proud farters?
Not for mate luring, but primate species other than humans are very proud farting in terms of not showing any shame.
Okay.
And so some of the scientists we've talked to, they actually use the sound of their farts to locate their study species. And
I'm telling you, man, this is a fascinating book. Is this book good for kids? Can a kid read your book?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
it is,
cool.
You know, it has some scientific terms, but we do provide a glossary in the back, and kids will definitely enjoy it.
Okay, that's amazing. Hey, thank you so
much. Adults will as well.
Okay, that's
the new book is called Does It Fart? It's available right now. Nick Caruso, thanks for joining us on the Roz and Mocha Show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So with Facebook now, everybody freaking out over Facebook.
Taking my information.
Well, yeah, exactly. Most people are so boring that their information would mean nothing to anybody anyway. But I guess they did a study over 5 days. Take it for what you want as a 5-day study.
But?
Of people who had deleted Facebook.
Oh, God.
And they said that after the 5 days, they were much happier and less stressed out having deleted Facebook.
Yeah, right.
But millions of people did delete it. They said the new study, people who deleted Facebook had lower stress levels after 5 days than people who kept their
just
accounts.
5 days, though.
5 days.
Ask them next year.
This is the most junkiest science I've ever read.
Yeah.
Because you do get that sort of dopamine hit when somebody interacts with something that you've posted on Facebook. But I don't even have notifications turned on for anything anymore. I don't get notifications for anything. But people still are tied to something like Facebook.
Yeah, but when I go on vacation and turn my phone off for 2 weeks, I feel so cleansed and
relaxed. You are somebody who needs to delete everything.
Yeah, I agree.
It stresses you out way too
also,
much.
Also, stop lying about turning everything off when you're on vacation.
I'll try and figure out how to undelete something. I'd rather just have it.
No, Maury told me this morning that Catherine made his weekend and ruined his weekend.
How?
Well, because Maury gave Roxy, she's really into Bob Ross the painter, God bless, oh, yeah. 2-inch brush. so she
the
spends
big soft afro.
Yeah, she spends her weekends watching Netflix Bob Ross while painting.
Oh,
she gets in all her painting gear, 2-inch brush, and
super cute, dude.
Yeah, and just and paints with Bob Ross. So Maury bought Roxy this little tiny Bob Ross bobblehead that talks and does all his like famous sayings.
Oh, yeah?
And it's awesome. Oh, it's cute. Awesome. She loves it. And then I guess at some point Catherine took a picture of it and posted it on Instagram.
Yeah,
and that just like made Maury's life.
Oh, and added him?
Like shouted like her first ever shout out to me on IG.
What did she say?
She's like, Roxy always paints because of her new hero Bob Ross and now has an action figure to go along with it thanks to @DammitMaury.
Okay.
And I was then, like, what?
Yeah, and then Maury got like super proud and went to show Matthew.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, you're not gonna believe this.
Yeah.
First of all, being validated over what my girlfriend Instagrams is so weird, Maury. But then he went to get Matthew to show it off, and Catherine had deleted the post.
Oh, no.
Right? And I don't know why. I don't know why she deleted it. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But Maury was crushed.
Oh, no.
And Matthew was like, why did you make that up?
How
like,
much
she
of
didn't
your
post it, and you don't have to lie to me.
How much of your weekend did that ruin, honestly?
I would say a day and a half.
A day and a half.
Day and a half?
Yeah. Yeah, because I got in the car with Maury this morning, and I was like, hey, man, I haven't seen you in 4 days. How was your weekend? He's like, fine. I was like, cool, what did you do? He's like, oh, you know, we two dinners. It was just like so busy. And I was like, fine, okay, man. Maury doesn't want to talk. He's in a terrible mood. So I'll just sit here and say nothing.
Oh, yeah,
and
she after deleted
like,
it.
Yeah, and after 25, 30 seconds of silence, Maury goes, so Catherine made my weekend and ruined it.
Fuck! That's not right, something you want to hear. As soon as you get in the car,
yeah.
And then he's already like ripping on your girlfriend.
Yeah, but like, what am I going to do about this? Don't talk to me about my girlfriend's Instagram.
Did you...
Did you text her? Nothing.
Like, oh, no. You can't do that.
Oh,
so you just complained to her boyfriend.
Yeah, you just complained to me about it. You just stress out over it. So believe me, if anybody needs to delete all this stuff out of their life, it's you. You would be so much better
but
off.
How am I supposed to
just...
know what Catherine's posting?
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Did you hear this clip of Donald Trump?
What do you say now? Is it him bashing Amazon?
Tippy top shape.
Tippy top shape.
Just so this was, I don't know, who's he talking? Was it just his Easter speech? The whole world. Okay.
Also, I want to thank the White House Historical Association and all of the people that worked so hard with Melania, with everybody to keep this incredible house or building or whatever you want to call it, because there really is no name for it. It is special. And we keep it in tip-top shape. We call it sometimes tippy-top shape. And it's a great, great place.
Isn't it called the White House?
First of all, yes, it does have a name. Everybody knows the name.
It's called the White House.
It's called the White House.
And I'm sure there aren't people walking around the White House being like, this place is in tippy-top shape. How old is this man?
I think he's almost 70, right? Isn't Trump 70?
Who says tippy-top shape,
though? Old guys.
But when you're the president of the United States, you don't go around saying the spot has no name.
No.
Meanwhile, it's the White House. And also, you don't say,
no,
we keep it in tippy-top shape.
No, old people have the best.
Do you think this 71-year-old was saying tippy-top shape just because he was talking to a field of children?
No, because I think this is how he talks. My grandfather, the one who told me that the reason why you have a belly button is so you can fill it full of sugar when you go to bed so you can dip your rhubarb in it as a snack before you fall asleep.
That's cooler than tippy-top.
That's what belly buttons are for.
That is such an old person thing to say.
He would always, if you did anything as a kid around him, he would just tell you to go piss up a rope, right? I knew that meant get out of here, you're bothering me, leave me alone. But I never in my life have dissected where that would have come from, because it just seems like a very difficult task to do, first of all.
Like,
but
piss up a
rope. Yeah. Like, I never knew. But as a kid, you knew exactly what he was saying. You're like, oh, geez, okay.
Yeah, I better get out of here.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Busy Phillips.
Who's that again?
I love Busy Phillips because I was a fan of Cougar Town, and she was like the best friend of Cougar Town. She's done a lot.
Okay.
You would know her from Instagram. She's best friends with Michelle Williams. They were, Dawson's Creek photo shoot together.
Sure.
So she does this Insta story where she's just absolutely crushed because I guess she brought the family. The family went to Hawaii over the Easter long weekend. And she's got two little girls, Cricket and Birdie. Right? And she, on their way home, I guess forgot Birdie, the little one, her stuffies in the hotel room. So listen to how this is like the the most crushing. So this is Busy Phillip on her Instagram.
I ended our wonderful family vacation with a total parental fail. Birdie's favorite bear, Radar, and her other bear, Flat Bear, were left. I called and housekeeping hadn't found them, so I think they were really tangled up in the sheets and they just went to the place where they wash the sheets, and so hopefully tomorrow they'll find them.
Oh no.
But it doesn't make anything better that, of course, like,
oh no,
all of Cricket's animals made it back. I was feeling such an and there was a lot of confusion in packing today because it was Easter, and so Cricket wanted to do the Easter egg hunt, like... and so I had packed like half of the stuff, and then I left, and Mark was doing the other half, and I know it's just a mistake, and these things happen, but it's like, you know, it's like the worst when you're a parent, and it's like your responsibility to like keep everything straight.
Oh no.
That is the worst. It's the worst.
Oh, no.
It's the worst.
Having an 8-year-old at home, Roz,
yeah.
Have you experienced where Roxy lost or it was misplaced a stuffy or anything like that?
Yeah, we've had moments like that, and you just like there's no recovery, and you wind up feeling twice as bad because the kid just feels bad because their stuffy's gone, right? Yeah. But you as a parent, you feel terrible because your kid lost their favorite stuffy, but also you're the one responsible.
Yeah.
You know, that is part of your job as a parent. You got to keep your kid alive, keep your kid fed, but you also have to take care of their stuffies, right?
Yeah.
Especially when you're on vacation. Like, stuffies on vacation is like another kid. You cannot say to a kid, also, that stuffy is your responsibility. It's not. You are the parent of all the things on that trip. And when you forget something or leave something behind... It's like going to war. One of the troops got left behind,
yeah.
And you're the general. Like, that's on you, right? We lost a soldier in Hawaii. He didn't make it back.
Oh no!
You know? Poor Birdie.
Oh no!
Yeah. So I
she
feel
really
poor,
feels
man.
Bad, eh?
Oh my god!
Oh, sucks.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show
podcast.
Hey, let me read you this.
Okay.
Millennials, because I know you love a millennial story.
Listen, because I am a millennial.
You are not a millennial, but for
right smack dab in the middle.
For the purposes of this, they say millennials would rather be fired by text than face to face.
It's true. I would rather receive
would
a text.
Would you really?
Yeah.
See, 1 in 8 millennials say that they would rather get fired from their job with a text or an instant message rather than face to face or on the phone.
Exactly.
The survey also found 86% of millennials prefer to do all their work communications by text or email, and only 14% like doing things in person or over the phone.
But then you don't understand tone.
Right.
Like, if someone were to fire you over text message,
right.
Yeah.
You don't know if they're saying, you know what, this just isn't working out,
no,
you're fired, versus... Yeah. This is not working out.
Right.
You're fired.
See, people don't want to be part of a team anymore, which is fine. Work has changed. The mentality of work and the culture of work, everything has changed. We no longer get that job when we're 22 and hope God we work there until we're 65. I get it. It's changed. But people don't want to deal with people anymore, right? Everybody's working for themselves. Even when you're working for a company, the dream for people is to feel like you're working for yourself, meaning, you know, give me the paycheck, give me the benefits, but leave me alone and let me produce.
But
let
people
me,
don't let deal me do with my people thing. In their whole lives. We just get so used to dealing with machines, whether it's the drive-through machine or the bank machine. Nobody deals with people, so we just aren't used to dealing with people.
No, but work. But when it comes to work, though, you need communication for work. But they just don't want to communicate with people. They want to communicate via text. You can still have the same amount of communication. but they just don't want you to call them or call them into a meeting. Text them. If you have something to say to me, text it to me.
Yeah, but then people deal with that period after every word like you do, and it drives people nuts.
Set up a group chat. I'm good.
Yeah?
Invite me in a group chat on WhatsApp. We're good.
That's it, huh?
Let's collaborate that way.
So you don't want to deal with anybody either?
No.
Wow.
No.
Yeah,
why?
I mean, I would prefer,
I got my phone.
Don't get me wrong, I'd prefer to not deal with people, but I'm okay with it, with a meeting, and I'm okay with, if you want to call me, I'm fine with that. I'll stay on the phone.
I'll Skype.
Yeah?
But unless it's people like my dad who will text you, but then phone you. Did you get my text?
Right. Well, see, for me, I just hate...
That's you.
But I was raised by Frank.
Yes, it's true. I just hate confrontation, and I will do things in my life to avoid confrontation.
Uh-huh.
And this is confrontation. Where it happens is on the phone and in person.
Yeah.
Right? Confrontation. Everybody's tough over text.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Everybody's tough
over
text. You can't slam a door on text.
No. Come at me, bro, on text. Yeah. But you would not say half that stuff or have half your defense, because what winds up happening is I send something to you as your boss, and then you spend 15 minutes formulating the perfect response.
Yeah, you SOB. Who do you think you are talking to me that way after I've given X amount of years service making your company money?
Yeah, Googling facts to back up your argument or your stupidity.
Right.
But you can't do that.
Ever since I started, you've seen an increase of X amount.
Yeah, yeah.
How dare you? You'll never replace...
I find I sound,
me.
I don't know if you're the same, I sound so much smarter in text.
No, you do not.
No, definitively near.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Podcast.
The other day I was telling you about that mom who tried to get her 16-year-old son out of bed to go to church on Easter Sunday.
Mm.
She tased him.
She tased him. Oh, no.
So let me read you the story again. Because we have a clip of the mother now explaining why she did this. So an Arizona mom was arrested. This was on Sunday, Easter Sunday, by police because she used a taser to wake up her 16-year-old son to go to church on Easter Sunday. Sharon Dobbins, who's 40, said that she only sparked the taser to get the kids up and out of bed to go to church. She was arrested just after 8 a.m. Easter Sunday. The victim, her 16-year-old son, did not complain of any pain, but according to police, he did have two small bumps on his leg that they said were left there by the taser.
The burn marks.
I shouldn't laugh. This is abuse. But here's the mom explaining.
I said, get up. It's Jesus Day. I don't think I did anything wrong because you're supposed to put God first. And that's all I was trying to tell my kids, put God first. He was like, Mom, I'm calling the police. I said, you can call police, UPS, DPS, whoever you want to call. Police were on the phone, and I told dispatcher, I told her, I said, you need to be with Jesus right now.
Did you tase your son?
No, I made the noise with the taser, but I did not tase my son. Nobody writes a book on the correct way of parenting. I told my sons this, honor that mother, that father, or the days will be shortened. That's my favorite.
Okay, so two things. First of all, CPS should not roll off your tongue as smoothly as it does for this moment. Okay? Child Protective Services, the short form, should not be like something that you're very familiar with saying.
It should be something that you have to think about for a little while and then be like, I think it's...
Yeah, exactly. What's that thing called? Oh, yeah. Child... go ahead. Call that the child... what is it called? That child... You shouldn't...
You don't just use short form so quick, lightning fast.
CPS should not roll off your tongue. Also, the fact that she said that there's no book on how to raise a child. This was the end of Roseanne the other night, where Darlene was having trouble with her kid who wouldn't give her passwords for her social media account so she could monitor who she was talking to. And they were talking about raising kids and being a parent. And, you know, Dan was like, well, you know, it's not like there's a book on how to raise a kid. And Darlene was like, there's actually thousands of books on how to raise a kid. You know what I mean? Like when somebody says there's no book on how to, you like being a parent or raising a kid does not fall into that category, because there are literally tens of thousands of books.
Hey man, you go into a place like Indigo and there's a full section that's labeled parenting.
Yeah, there's actually, I wouldn't even say there's books. There's an industry of books on how to raise kids. And nowhere in there will you find tase them to go to church.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Kids 92.5, this is Roz and Mocha.
Hi, it's Maury. I have a quick question for you guys.
Is this like Maury's in our Maury? Where are you? Oh,
I'm in front of my computer, but I figured you'd take me more seriously if I called in.
Okay, hold on. So you have to understand, if you're listening to this right now,
Maury is about 6 feet away from me and Mocha, but he's just like in another room where there's a giant 10x5 window.
And I didn't realize you had call display.
I can see you. Yeah. We don't need call display.
Your mouth moving right now. Okay, what?
Do you ever get one of those itches in your back that you just can't reach? They're in the middle of your back?
Yeah, sure.
So I wanted to phone in and just find out who's going to call it.
What do you mean? Not it.
I need someone to scratch my back.
What?
I just said not it.
Just lean up against the freaking wall.
Do what a bear does. Go bear, man. Yeah. Go full bear. Open the. Find a corner. Rub it on the corner.
That's not the same thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you got to go full bear on this one.
No, Mocha.
No, rub it like a bear. Come on, Maury.
I've never rubbed it like a bear.
Did I rub it? No, scratch it like a bear. Just hang up the phone for God's sake and
get in here, get man. Get in here. This is ridiculous.
No, hang up the phone.
It's going to start feedbacking now.
No, there's not going to be any feedback.
Yes, Maury, there is.
Can you please just hang up the phone and be an adult?
I have to get to my microphone.
Okay, yeah, this is because this sounds normal to people listening.
Can you hear me still?
Yes, thank you for hanging up.
It's right on my shoulder
blade. I don't
care.
Oh, go find it. See that corner right there where that window is?
No.
Window. Window. So don't share it, for God's sake. Yeah, stop it, Maury. Don't make fun of me. See that corner right there? Yeah, rub on that like a bear.
It's not the same.
Well, that's as good as it's going to get, buddy. You've heard that before.
It's still itchy.
That's not my problem. Wash.
Yeah, the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Number one comfort food for you, pizza or burgers?
Pizza.
Yeah.
Easily.
It's tough.
Why?
It's tough.
What about you?
Pierogies.
I flip back and forth between pizza and burgers.
My new secret order food is pierogies.
Pierogies not on the list. If there is, and the interesting thing about this list of comfort foods.
Who put the list together? Just a bunch of food nerds?
Sure, yeah. There's only one soup that made the list.
Soup. Oh, can I guess?
There's only one soup that made the list. If you could only put one soup on the list of the, and it's the top 10 comfort foods, what?
Oh, it'd be chicken noodle.
No, Italian wedding.
Italian wedding?
Excuse me?
Italian wedding soup.
Where do you get Italian wedding soup?
In a can.
Oh, geez.
It's not chicken noodle.
No, it's not chicken noodle.
Is it tomato?
Yeah. No. Matzo ball. Yeah. Matzo ball. Is it matzo ball?
It's not. I just said it was tomato, Maury.
Oh.
I don't know. I would choose chicken noodle soup over...
And when we're talking comfort foods,
over
right?
Over tomato.
I would 100% say chicken noodle soup over
tomato
soup.
Tomato soup is pretty boring.
Yeah, but I think more people enjoy tomato soup.
I don't think so.
I mean,
so.
Andy Warhol only had tomato soup for every meal.
I don't know about that, though. To me, chicken noodle, like when we're talking, like other, okay, so let me work out the rest of this list here. So we got pizza burgers, number one and number two.
Yeah.
French fries, number three.
Sure. Agreed.
Sorry, fried chicken, number three. French fries, number four.
Agreed.
Fried chicken.
Do chicken strips or chicken fingers count as fried chicken?
Yeah. Are they fried? Deep fried?
I think so.
Sure. Yes. If they're breaded, deep fat fried. Yes. Ooh. I would
so
say
any
fried
form.
Chicken.
Okay.
Mm. Yes. I would put that in the list.
You got a deep fryer at home, right?
I do. Yeah.
Can you bring it in tomorrow?
No.
Oh, please.
No, we would stink this whole place out. I have to deep fry in the garage.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, how about this?
The deep fryer's not in the kitchen. It's in the garage.
Bring it in tomorrow, and we'll deep fry in the parking garage downstairs before we start the show.
Dude. Pasta at number five, mac and cheese at number six, grilled cheese at number seven, mashed potatoes at number eight, chili at number nine, and then tomatoes. Really? Yeah, and then tomato soup at number 10.
Interesting that they put pasta and mac and cheese when there's technically the same thing.
But prepared differently, though.
Yeah, true, but they fall under pasta.
No, they don't. Mac and cheese, I would say, is not pasta.
But it is a pasta.
No, it's not. But it doesn't matter. It's mac and cheese. It is not pasta.
Yeah.
If I went to somebody's house and they were like, hey, you want to come for dinner? And I was like, yeah, cool. I was like, what are we having? And they were like, pasta. And I sat down. And if they gave me mac and cheese, first of all, I'd think they were trashy. But secondly, secondly, I would say that this is not pasta. This is mac and cheese.
No, but
there's
macaroni is from the pasta family.
Of course it is. Yes.
But you don't call it pasta. You call it macaroni and cheese.
But they sell it in the pasta aisle.
Yeah, but if you go home and Matthew says to you, hey, we're going to have pasta tonight, what do you assume?
He's going to make pasta and sauce.
Right.
Pasta with tomato sauce.
End of discussion. Let's continue.
That's pasta.
Right, but I'm just saying that they put pasta and macaroni in two separate things. To me,
because they're separate.
Because spaghetti and meatballs.
It could be a slash.
No. Because spaghetti and meatballs is wildly different than mac and cheese. Wildly different.
So you put spaghetti and meatballs with like...
Pasta.
Cannelloni.
No, Maury. Okay, listen. I would put it in the pasta category,
yeah,
which we already established is a different category than mac and cheese.
Because I don't agree with that.
Okay.
Trashy. Well, we're trying to talk about soup.
I thought we moved on from soup.
Okay, no, but tomato soup at number 10. But I highly agree with you, Mocha, that chicken noodle soup, if we're talking comfort foods, would be the soup on the list.
Yeah. When you're sick, what do you have?
Yeah.
You want chicken noodle soup.
Matzo ball.
Matzo ball soup, to me, is better than chicken noodle soup.
Really?
100%.
Is it a chicken broth and matzo ball soup, though? It is.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever had that.
Have you never had matzo ball soup?
No. Can we deep fry it? Parking garage? Tomorrow?
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
KS92.5, this is Roz and Mocha. Who's this?
Good morning, Roz and Mocha. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. Okay, I don't know if you'll remember me. My name's Francesca. I called a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And I had a question for Maury.
Okay.
Cheese.
Wait, Francesca from Woodbridge, right?
That's me.
Yeah, I remember you. So what's your question for Dan and Maury?
Okay, so Maury, there's this cheese that I used to be obsessed with and I can't find it anymore. It's like a triangle piece of cheese split into thirds. The middle is blue cheese and then the two outer thirds are port wine. So it's like this red cheese. So good. I don't know if you've come across it, if you know where to find it or something, but I've been searching.
That sounds like flavored brie.
I don't know, because the port wine side was just regular port wine cheese, and then the middle was a blue cheese.
First of all, you're going to have to explain to Maury how exactly to divide something into thirds.
So funny you said that. I was trying to do that with my fingers. Like, is that three? So that's cut into three.
Yeah, correct. So what is the question? You used to like a cheese and now you don't?
No, I love it, but I can't find it. So I was wondering if Maury knew where to find it or if he's come across it.
Being the cheese expert on the show.
This is so upsetting. I cannot bear it.
Okay. So do you know where you can find this cheese, Maury, or no?
Did you
put this call through for the pun?
No, it came to me just instantly.
Okay.
Just, you know, because Brica's.
Right.
if it's one that I've seen before, they have, I mean, most grocery stores in the cheese section, I Longo's, for example, they do have the wine-flavored brie, and that's why I'm convinced what you're having is, God, I sound so smart, is wine-flavored brie.
Oh.
Well, maybe. That makes sense. Where do I find that? Because it's not at Fortino's.
Which is shocking that it's not at Fortino's. Check Longo's. I've seen that there.
Yeah, okay, I'll look at Longo's then.
Mocha, you shop at Longo's. You talk about it all the time.
Hey, Maury, what's the saddest cheese?
I don't know.
Blue cheese.
Ah, Roz, so funny with all
the
jokes.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Hey, we got to go. Thanks, Francesca.
Okay, thanks, Maury. I'm feeling really good about our conversation.
Oh, stop it.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I was just going through some of the April Fool's jokes because April Fool's kind of got lost in all the Easter stuff.
Did you do a prank or no?
Yeah, because, I mean, listen, Roxy loves April Fool's. It's like the greatest thing in the world for her.
Yeah.
But she even forgot, so I had to go in and remind her. I was like,
that was April Fool's?
Yeah, I was like, dude.
What'd she say?
I was like, look at my phone. Because she doesn't want to prank me. She just wants to prank Catherine.
Of course.
That's because it's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
Is to prank your
mom?
Yeah. So what we did is we went outside, and I took her in the garage, and I grabbed two shopping bags. And I sort of filled it with air, right?
Yeah.
I took a chopstick, like a little piece of wood, and I jammed it through the back of these empty shopping bags that were inside each other to make it thicken it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And then on the end of that chopstick, I just stuck an empty toilet paper roll.
Okay.
Right? So it was a hole going into the back of this bag with a chopstick. And then
the bag's inflated.
And then the bag's inflated. And there was a toilet paper roll on the end of that chopstick. But the chopstick was sticking out behind the end of the bag. Right?
Yeah.
So I told Roxy, hold the top of the bag really, really tight with your hands. And I'm going to pick you up. And I'm going to have one arm around you. And in my other hand, I'm going to be working the chopstick in the bag. Right? And so she went to the door. And she started kicking at the door as I'm holding her, going, Mom, Mom, open. I caught a bird. Right? And so I'm working this thing in this bag, and this bag is like flipping everywhere.
Yeah.
And then Catherine comes to the door, doesn't know what we're saying, and just casually opens the door. And then she's like, what? And she's like, I caught a bird. And then she freaked out. And then
Catherine freaked out?
Yeah, of course she did.
How'd you find out about that? That's very intricate.
Yeah. 2 seconds it took me. I'm brilliant.
I got my brother.
I'm great at pranks.
No, but like how that. Did you hear about that one.
I didn't. I just made it up on the spot. I went in the garage and I was like, what do I have in the garage? I got two bags, an empty toilet paper roll, and a chopstick. Don't ask me why I keep one chopstick in the garage.
Well, that was actually going to be my next question.
Right.
I got my brother really good.
What did you do?
Because it's his birthday. And I asked him what he really wants for his birthday. And he's a huge fan of the Boston Bruins.
Right.
So he said, can you get me a jersey? I'm like, okay, no problem. I'll get you a Boston Bruins jersey.
Yeah.
So I went and found the one place in Toronto that has these things. And I took a picture of the shirt where I was getting the name put on the back.
Yeah.
And on the back, I put Leafs fan.
Oh, God.
So I sent a picture to my brother going, no problem, I got you, fam. Because he hates the Leafs and loves Boston.
Right.
He was so angry. I posted it on Instagram, and he wrote on my Instagram, he wrote, way to be mature.
Oh, no, you got roasted by your little brother.
My parents, I handed him the bag. I'm like, happy birthday, open your gift. And he's looking at me going, but I already knew what it is. I'm like, open it up. And of course, the gift, the gag was there was no name put on the back.
Oh.
I just completely upset him for this whole time.
That's great. That's great, though. I like that. That's
and
a
I
good
said,
one.
You have 50 years to get me back.
So when you give somebody a jersey, let me ask you this, because you wear a lot of jerseys, Mocha. Do you get your own name on the back of a jersey, or do you put a player's name on the back of a jersey?
Well, here's the thing. I tend to not get any name
right.
on the back, because I've been burned in the past where I've bought a shirt
right.
or a jersey or whatever
right.
that has a player's name on the back, and they're with the team. Maybe they leave like the next season.
Yeah,
and then
tough.
I got that.
So put your name on it.
Then I got that shirt.
But do you put your own name on it?
All my jerseys. All my jerseys say Maury.
I only have one jersey because it was gifted to me.
Yeah, right.
It says Mocha on the back.
Right. Like I see. Sometimes you see it like a game where like a guy's wearing a Leaf jersey and like the name on the back just reads like Mitch loves Cheryl. You know what I mean? Like people really go out of their way to personalize jerseys. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I don't know what you do in that
Maury,
situation.
And I got one for my dad that says Frank.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really? But I think that...
Why would you put Sherman on the back?
Because then that could be... There are players named Sherman. I wanted it to look like it's for him.
Frank.
There's no player named Frank.
You don't know that, though. There's a player out there and his last name's Frank.
That'd be rare.
Yeah, no, but, that was good. Did you get Jenna with anything on April Fool's or no?
No.
You didn't?
No.
Because you forgot or you're too lazy or no good at it?
The first two?
Yeah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Do you watch the Planet Earth series at all?
Love.
So I was watching Planet Earth 2 last night with Roxy, burnt through like two or three episodes. And what I love is watching how things find a mate and how they show off. Like they'll find these birds and these birds make these colorful nests, and some birds love different colors, right? So this one species of bird will go around this city and only finding like white pieces of paper and white bags and white, like just everything.
Yeah.
And then they make this like, they make like a bachelor pad,
right?
And they got to get it looking good. And then when it's not enough, if they want to like add a little pop of color to it, they go to other birds' bachelor pads and start stealing their stuff when they're not there.
Savage.
And so there were these two birds. And again, when they film this stuff, I don't know how many thousands of hours they have to go through filming birds before you find something cool. But this other bird had it also a beautiful white nest, like a beautiful white bachelor pad.
He's ready.
But in his nest, he had two red things.
Uh-huh.
He had a red dinky car.
No.
Yes.
Yeah?
He had a red dinky car.
Let you beat my ride, baby.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
You ever date a bird with a Corvette?
Right. He had a red dinky car.
Yeah.
He had a red dinky car and a stuffed tiny little red heart that he found on the street.
Aw, cute.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this other bird steals the red dinky car and the red heart
and brings them
back to his place.
Yeah.
And the adult birds, what they have on the back of their head is they can flip their, when they're looking for a mate, they flip their hair up and it's all purple underneath. So when you walk into the all white bachelor pad with the red dinky car and the red stuffed heart, and then you flip up the thing and you see the purple feathers underneath, and women are just supposed to drop to their knees.
Yeah.
And then so this woman shows up and she's sort of like checking out his place.
Yeah,
and he's like, hey,
nice digs,
right?
Yeah.
And she comes over and the one little bird brings her some of the white stuff, and he's like, you like the white stuff?
Check
out the quality of this.
Yeah.
And still nothing, right? And then he's like, okay, maybe you want my dinky car. So he picks up the dinky car and brings the dinky car over to her. And he's like, maybe you'd like my car. What do you think of my car? And then she's kind of like, okay, I'm into this.
Yeah.
And then the narrator is like, he's got one more tool in his bag.
Yeah.
The stuffed red heart. And then so he grabs the little stuffed red heart, brings it around to the other side of the nest, and puts it down in front of this woman. in front of the ladybird. And then the ladybird sort of looks at it, picks it up in her mouth.
Yeah.
And it's at this point that the bird realizes that it wasn't a woman, but a young male bird who was not yet fully developed.
Oh!
And the young male bird took the heart and flew away for his nest.
Oh, no. Oh, it was a straight setup.
It was a total setup.
Oh, man, and the robbery took place.
And he was acting like a woman and everything, right? He was just like flirting and rubbing, like totally acting like a woman until he could jack the guy.
He committed the robbery. Oh, no. That sucks.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Major League Baseball wanted to find out who the youngest and the oldest teams are in the league.
As in, like,
as in age.
As in age.
Age,
okay.
Average. But I don't know why, but they did this, like, average age of a major league player on opening day.
Well, you know.
What? The average age is 28.91 years old.
28.
Last season, it was 29.
Who's the oldest person playing?
Oldest person? I don't know. I
like,
can find that.
How old do ball players play for?
Well, it... How long?
Yeah.
At least until, like, maybe their 40s.
Do they really?
I would say so. So the Philadelphia Phillies are the youngest team in all of Major League Baseball with an average of 26.92
really,
years
huh?
old. The other young teams, age-wise, player ages in the league are Cincinnati, Miami, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, and the Yankees.
Jeez.
Now the Toronto Blue Jays are the oldest in the league.
Really?
With an average of 31.01.
Oh, no.
Other leagues that are averaging the oldest would be the LA Angels, Seattle, San Francisco, and Cleveland. But the Toronto Blue Jays, according to this research done by Major League Baseball, age-wise, not age of the team, age of the players, oldest.
Jeez.
In the league.
Ay, ay, ay. Yeah, I'm trying to find something. I mean, there was, like, back in the day. Hold on. What was that thing I just saw? Back in the day, ball players used to be really old. Satchel Paige was 59 still playing.
Jesus.
Come on. There's no way. In 1933, a guy named Jack Quinn was 50. 49,
49, 48, 48. According to baseballreference.com,
yeah.
A guy on the Mets, well, the last name Colon.
On meth?
No, Mets.
Oh.
New York Mets.
Oh.
Maybe he's on meth. I don't know. 43 years old.
43. God, I'll tell you, you know what? When you are 43 like I am, it is so disheartening to know that there is a place in the world where adults do things, not like where kids thrive, but where adults do things where you would be considered like a freak if you were still doing it at the age you're doing it. And like when I like pro sports, like hockey players and baseball players, it's like if I was like ESPN would be writing articles on me if I was 43 and still playing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's
well, it's
so
like LeBron
crazy.
James. LeBron James is 33 years old.
33.
But and arguably the greatest player that has ever existed.
Yeah.
I know people are like, oh,
sure.
What about Jordan? What about Jordan?
Yeah.
What about Jordan?
Different
Let me tell
eras.
You something.
Yeah.
Number one, yes, different era. Number two, and I'm a Jordan fan.
Yeah.
But LeBron James is the greatest basketball player in history.
Yeah.
And will go down as the greatest in basketball history.
Sure.
33 years old.
Yeah.
And he's already...
It's crazy.
I don't want to say old, but he's been playing since he was a baby, basically.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. I barely remember 33.
Come on,
you know
bro.
What I mean?
That's like 10 years ago.
And I still feel sort of young. Like, I'm kind of spry. Like, I got a spring in my step. I can still mow the lawn by hand.
You
know what
you
I mean?
Do?
You know? But, like, you put me on a ball team, and suddenly I'm a dinosaur. Yeah. Like, I can't handle that. It's a terrible realization.
All that running.
All that running.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Kiss 92.5, Roz and Mocha.
Hey, I can't believe I got through. Listen, you guys, I was just driving in, like I do every morning from Richmond Hill, and you won't believe how much frustration I have, but listening to you guys It lights up my morning, but it's these crazy drivers who want to tailgate you when you're doing your speed limit, and they start fingering you, they cut you off. I just want to say that at the end of the day, it brings me a lot of joy to hear you guys talk. You make me laugh. You guys are hilarious. I just wanted to call in and let you know that.
Oh, wow. What is your name?
Gurpreet.
Gurpreet. So you drive from what, Richmond Hill into Toronto?
Into Scarborough, actually.
Oh, wow. Damn. Scarborough.
And I drive a minivan, and people just don't have patience. So just in the last week, I've got cut off by two people, flipped the bird, and yet where's the cops when you want them to see them cut these people off?
Yeah.
And read them the rights, right? But I took a chance, and I said, you know what, I'm going to try to call. And luckily, somebody picked up, and I'm thinking, wow, I can't believe I actually got through. This is my first time phoning you guys. But you guys are hilarious. Your morning show really does light up a lot of people's lives.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Gurpreet.
And I can tell you, people at our work listen to you, and from TransCare Community Support Services, I just want to give a shout-out from all of us to you guys.
So, say that again, TransCare what?
Community Support Services. We're a home support seniors agency.
There you go.
We serve seniors, yeah. So it's very fun and passionate job. We have amazing people, and just the same, you guys light up our lives, too. So.
Some good work out there, Gurpreet.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. And between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite?
I'm sorry. I got to stick with the brown guy, so it's going to be Mocha.
Wow. That's great. Thanks. Couldn't see that one coming, Gurpreet.
That's what I'm talking about. Why, Roz? Explain yourself. Explain your answer, Roz.
I was just making a very generalized assumption here.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
No offense.
Gurpreet, you have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Hey. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
How's it going, eh?
Yes. Well, better than Facebook, I'll tell you, my day. I had no idea, but because of all this stuff, when Facebook allowed the personal data of 50 million different users to get into the hand of Cambridge Analytica, and then they in turn used it to profile people during the U.S. election, shares in Facebook are down 13% since March.
Oh, wow.
Okay, what that means is that Facebook has lost more than $70 billion in market value since March.
Like 70?
70.
And billion, like with a B.
They've lost $70 billion in market value since March.
What you doing, Facebook?
And then on top of that, you have Pep Boys, which is the auto parts dealer in the U.S., yesterday saying that they were suspending all advertising on Facebook, joining Mozilla, who also pulled their advertising.
Firefox, right?
And Commerce Bank, which is a German second largest banking chain.
Wow.
Pulled their advertising as well for Facebook. How do you like to lose $70 billion in a month? $70 billion.
Yeah. What are you going to do about that now?
I don't Mark know. Zuckerberg? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You know, and I don't know what the fix for, you know, for this is. And you know,
I mean, but people aren't gonna stop using Facebook altogether.
No.
Or if they will, it'll take a very long time before they do.
It does, but I think that it all of this sort of new stuff, you know, everybody has to go through the bad in order to get to the people who fight against it, and then it sort of just becomes indifference, right? Like it's interesting. When I grew up, smoking cigarettes was what young kids did, and it was cool, and it made you fit in, and it was very social, and it was everything else. But a whole generation and generation and generation all had to realize how terrible cigarettes were for you. Before now, you get somebody like my kid. Like, if we are in a car and my kid sees somebody smoking in another car, she like starts jawing at them.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, it just doesn't happen anymore.
Sure.
It's not cool. It's for losers basically. Yeah. Right. It's the same thing with sending naked pictures over a telephone. That was a generational first for people who are now in their early 20s. They had to go through the consequences. So every generation after
because at first it was exciting.
It was exciting, but you didn't know the consequences. You felt cool. It was awesome. It was exhilarating. But then a generation has to go through the consequences before the generations after that realize that you're an actual loser if you do that and think that there's no consequences to your actions. And maybe that's what it is with Facebook too. I mean, I know we're all freaking out over our own personal information and getting mad at Facebook for, you know, leaking our own personal info. But what are you doing giving up that much info to Facebook?
Right.
Like, what are you doing?
when maybe you download something new and then like the option says allow Facebook to access this information, you click the button that says yes. Yeah.
Also, you're not that important. Can I just put that out there for people who are upset about Facebook? Your information is not that important. For the most part.
Wow, savage.
You're boring. Right?
Wow, savage.
Yeah, your information is not that important. You're boring.
I want to see pictures you can't no more.
Right, yeah.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show
podcast.
Miley Cyrus is being sued for $300 million.
Is she?
Yeah.
For what now?
She's being sued by a Jamaican artist over her song, We Can't Stop. So Michael May, who performs as, how do I say this? Flower Gone.
Flower God?
Flower Gone. Florgon. Florgon? F-L-O-U-R-G-O-N. Florgon? Flourgon?
Like Flower Guan.
Oh, Flower Guan. He had a song out in 1988 called We Run Things.
Oh,
he
sad.
Says, quote, "It's been a favorite for lovers of reggae music worldwide since reaching number one in his home country of Jamaica back then in 1988. He also insisted that around 50% of We Can't Stop by Miley Cyrus came from him, with him accusing Miley Cyrus and her label of misappropriating his material.
Uh-oh.
Now, he says he's accused Cyrus of unlawfully taking from his, quote, unique and creative lyrical phraseology in order to establish an overreaching and pervasive theme in the realm of self-discovery and self-governing.
Wow.
Okay, so that's the, so here, so play Miley Cyrus. Okay. Normally when people get sued, it's for ripping off a song like the tempo is the same or the melody is the same. He's suing her for $300, basically saying that using the phrase and having the mentality of "we can't stop" is the same as when he was saying "we run things." So he's not saying that she stole his song musically or lyrically. He's saying that the meaning behind the song is the same as the meaning behind his song.
What's this guy's name? Flower Guan?
Yeah, Flower Guan.
Listen, Flower Guan. Every single artist in every genre of music,
yes,
could have a song about something, sing it in a different way, and the meaning is still the same.
Correct. So again, his song was "We Run Things."
And her song is "We Can't Stop."
And he's saying that that is worth, somebody saying "We Can't Stop" is so similar to him saying "We Run Things," although the songs have nothing else in common other than that, is a $300 million lawsuit. All right, we know that.
We run things, things don't run away. Anything we do, we have again, they grab me. We run
things, I don't know.
Solid case.
I don't know.
Roz and Mocha Q&A.
Ask Roz and Mocha. Man, oh man, this is one of my favorite parts of the podcast.
Yeah, and all of these questions come from Instagram, which is great. It's been a great place for all of you to ask your questions. Once a week, we'll post a picture on Insta with the Ask Roz and Mocha logo on it, and then people just fill up the comment section with questions, and it's a gold mine.
At Kiss925, by the way.
And it's also your opportunity to get on the podcast, and we're going to take two calls today.
Oh, okay. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
What's going on? Welcome to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hi, how are you guys?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
What is your question, Katie?
So my question is, if someone came up to you and handed you a book, and it ended up being the story of your life from beginning to end, would you read it?
Do I have to read the whole book?
Yeah, you can't just read parts of it. You would have to read it beginning to end. So
can I just read so I can't like read just the beginning?
No.
No, you'd have to read the whole thing. Would you read it?
No, I wouldn't read it.
Why not?
I don't want to know how it ends.
No.
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 Not at all.
I would throw it in the fire and then punch the person who handed it to me.
Yeah.
There's no way. Because I'll tell you, if I was
if I was 22, right, and somebody handed me a book that said, this is where you're going to be, you know, this is your life, and I got to the part where we are now when I'm 42 and I'm happy and
43.
Thank you, Maury. And I'm happy, make great money and successful and everything else. I would screw up the path to get to this point.
That makes sense.
True.
You know what I mean?
Because you would have to follow everything the exact way from the point in your life where you started reading that book.
Yeah. And I would,
like, every single decision.
I would screw it up.
Yeah.
Like, I know that I would screw it up. You know, so much so to the point of where, you know, if Catherine and I did it on a day that she got pregnant, but it wasn't the exact day that she got pregnant with Roxy, like, I may wind up doing this show with Mocha and Maury, but I wouldn't have my kid. It would be a different kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I would screw it up somehow. Like, I would mess it up.
Like, everything has just worked out so perfectly, so.
But everything just worked out the way that it's worked out. But I've done things in my life leading to this point that I really shouldn't have done. I shouldn't have made those decisions, but still wound up here. And I think that I think that if I was then going on this path, I would be far more cautious to take the chances that I did, thinking that I was going to screw something up.
Yeah, see, I didn't even think about that. I just thought about, like, the end.
Oh, how you want to die.
Not how you want to die, but knowing, like, would it be peaceful?
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Or would I get hit with, like, a disease or legit get hit by a truck?
Yeah. Right. Death is never peaceful.
Right?
It's not peaceful. It's, like, never peaceful.
I don't want to know any of that
stuff. It's never peaceful.
I don't want to know any of that
stuff. I don't want to know. What's more important to you, to find out how you die or when you die?
I don't know. I think finding out when I die, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I just
I couldn't even
days.
Answer that.
Right.
I couldn't answer.
Yeah. Because, like, imagine, like, okay, just imagine this. Like, for instance, how much your life would just suck from this point on if somebody came to you and said, I'm not going to tell you when, but you will die walking across the street.
Oh, my goodness. That's right? Terrifying. Yeah.
I do everything I could to never cross the street again.
Right.
Ever.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. If I need to go across the street, I'm calling an Uber.
Yeah.
Drive me right there.
Yeah. Right there. Yeah. I know. It's terrible. I don't know more. You would read the book 100%,
but I'd
right?
be so worried about falling asleep while reading it, like I do with most books.
Right. But you don't have to read it in one
so
go.
Boring, right?
You don't have to read it in one go. You're allowed to.
But I always skip pages when I read.
Right.
Just read it when you can.
Yeah. So, because here's what would happen, right? Maury, in Maury's book, it would say this. You know, Maury at 40 years old now, in 15 years, he is going to meet Ryan Reynolds at a party, and Ryan Reynolds at that point will have come out of the closet and fall madly, deeply in love with Maury. So what would happen is, right now, Maury would read this and he would screw it all up because he wouldn't follow the path, because he would just be so looking forward to meeting Ryan Reynolds that he would dump Matthew now. He would start, you know what I mean? Like, he would do all this stuff. Yeah. He would screw up the path. And then in 15 years from now, Maury wouldn't have that opportunity. He would be broken alone.
And probably end up at that party and meet somebody like Screech.
Yeah,
and not,
exactly. And who would have also come out of the closet, and you know what? Like, you don't know what's going to happen, right?
Ah, you dumb Matthew Screech.
Jeez.
Hey, Katie, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you. I've been listening to you guys since I was in the seventh grade.
Oh, shut up.
What?
Seventh grade? So crazy. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm in my first year of college now.
Wow. Congratulations on that.
Yeah, because we've been on the radio for over 8 years now. So, Katie, before we let you go, between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite?
This was actually really hard for me. I was thinking about it last night, and my boyfriend was trying to convince me that Roz is the best, because he has, like, this really deep voice, and he's just, like, really cool sounding. And I was like, okay, well, that makes sense, but I'm going to have to say Mocha.
Oh. So even after all the evidence is presented.
Yeah. I know. He actually said to me, he's like, you know, if our values don't align, I don't think that a marriage thing is going to work out. Wow. So if you don't like Roz, and I'm like, I don't know, I think we'll just have to deal with it.
Wow. Okay.
Thanks, Katie. Love you lots.
Love you too, guys.
Take care. Bye-bye, hon.
So we have another phone call?
Yeah, let's go to David right now.
Amazing. Hey, David.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's up, man? It's Roz and Mocha.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Welcome to the podcast, brother.
Thank you very much.
We got your question on Instagram, and you get to ask it here on the podcast with us now.
So my question is, what is one thing you've done in your life, a decision you've made that if you had done differently, you think would change who and what you are now?
What is one thing you've done in your
life?
Yeah, go ahead, Mocha.
I know.
Yeah, what?
So, David, you may not know this, But back in 2009, when I was asked to come and work at Kiss 92.5,
right,
I was presented with the offer to do the afternoon show. And Roz was hired to do the morning show. And at the time, they were still looking for a co-host. Roz was still looking for somebody to work with him. And I was already locked in to do the afternoon show. And our boss at the time had said to me, 2 weeks after I had accepted the afternoon job, said, hey, do you want to do the morning show with Roz? And I said no.
Mm-hmm.
And then wow. Roz and I got on the phone, I think like twice,
yeah,
and had very long conversations, and I still said no, yeah, to doing the Roz and Mocha show. And then eventually I came around to my senses and I accepted the morning position. But had I continuously said no, the Roz and Mocha show would not exist.
And I wouldn't be doing this show. There's no way that this show would have been a success with me and anybody else. No, because you have to be a certain kind of person to work with me. And Mocha is the perfect partner in every single way. And I've never met anyone else in this business that I could tolerate for this amount of time.
Oh, man, that's so nice. Thanks, dude.
As like a partner.
Oh, that's really nice.
There's nobody else. So guaranteed, had Mocha said no, and then I sat here and did the show with somebody else. Stop. Don't look so upset, Maura. You didn't come in until later. Maura's like all busted right now.
I wish you could see Maury's face.
So
right
crushed
now.
Right
he
now.
He looks like he's on the verge of tears.
Yeah. You weren't here then, man. Like, I don't know why you get so upset. Like, you weren't here. That's like getting upset about me telling a really great, fantastic, adventurous vacation story that you missed out on when I was 16. Like, I didn't know you then. Of course you weren't invited. But no, the show would have failed, and I would have gone on to do something else, and there would be two other people or three other people or whatever doing this show. The show would only work with Mocha, and when I was going through people that sort of like that I would love to do this show with, it was only Mocha, and there was nobody else on my list. I handed the list of one person, and then so when Mocha said no, I had like champagne ready to like just, you know, pop, and then because thinking who wouldn't want to work with me. And then Mocha said no, and I had, there was no plan B. There was no plan B. I was like, well, okay, then this isn't going to work. And then he came around, and here we are almost 9 years later.
So it was you that kind of persuaded him then?
No, he can't. No, Mocha, the decision was made all on his own. We didn't really, because he was still here, like he was still employed here, right? So you weren't going to push him too hard, but he eventually came around.
And, yeah, there's one day I was sitting in my parents' family room, we're watching TV, and it was a Sunday. I'll never forget this. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, you idiot. Like, this is a radio station that you friggin' love.
Yeah.
Right? I started my career fresh out of college at this radio station. And this is, you know, the biggest market in Canada, one of the largest in the entire world. And I'm like, when are you ever going to get a chance to do a morning radio show for the one station that you absolutely love? And I called my boss right away and I was like, listen, I screwed up. Yes, most definitely. If you still want me on this morning show, I would love to do the show with Roz.
Yeah, I think that was a great choice.
Right on, man. Hey, thanks so much for the call.
Thank you very much for accepting the
call. Take care, brother.
And finally, before we go, Chris Ruffalo writes, if there was one thing from your childhood that you could still use today, what would it be and why?
Maury, answer now.
There was this computer machine that I used to have that would do math for me.
Like a calculator?
But it was like a game. It was a math game so you could learn math. And I wish I still had this so that I could play the math games.
Right. What did you use it for? Because obviously you didn't use it for its intended purpose.
No, well, my dad.
Good one.
My dad helped me with the answers.
Oh, okay. So out of all the things that you had when you were a kid to play with, you would bring the math machine back?
You friggin' nerd.
The math machine.
That's so stupid.
Jesus, what would you bring back? Did you have anything that you really loved that you would still use today,
man,
if you could?
My thumb wrestlers.
Your thumb wrestlers?
Yeah. Sure, why not? Because they don't make them anymore.
Right. Like if you had a room in your house, like a big walk-in closet that had a lock on the door and everything else, and in that room was all your old wrestling toys, like your old ring and all the figures and your thumb wrestlers, all that stuff. If, you know, some nights, like if Jenna went to bed early and like if Cruz was sleeping and there's really nothing on TV, it was the summer, would you ever go sit in the closet, lock the door and just play with your wrestlers?
I wouldn't even lock the door.
You wouldn't even lock the door.
How about you? You have an answer for that one?
Yeah, geez, it's really tough. I don't know.
Pet Rock?
No, I didn't know. Nothing like that. I think my music collection when I was a kid, but because it was so fun, because we didn't have a lot of money, so I didn't have a lot of records, right? I had like 4 records. So I just listened to a lot of music. But I think that I would, probably I would really enjoy a weekend alone with my old bike. I think that I'd really dig it.
You don't want to bring back your like fashion from the 80s, like your pocketless pants?
No, nothing like that, because I can do all that now. Like I can get tight jeans now. I can't get my bike back, because the bike that I'm talking about was, do you remember when they made those bikes and they looked like motorcycles? Like it had a big plastic tank on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And like the super long seat and big thick wheels. Like it looked like a chopper with like a tank on it.
Yeah.
But only it was a bicycle. Like I had one of those.
What happened to it?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. You get rid of that stuff over the years.
Maybe bring back my wagon.
Yeah, your wagon. Exactly, right? You can hitch it to the back of my bike. We can go to Mocha's house, sit in his closet and play with his wrestling dolls.
Amazing. So every week at Kiss925 on Instagram, we're going to post Ask Roz and Mocha, and feel free, ask anything you want. Yeah. And we'll try to get to every single one of those on the following podcast and potentially get you on the phone as well.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live weekday mornings from 6 to 10
on Kiss925.
Kiss925.com
or on the Kiss925 app.